It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The job interview can be one of the most nerve-wracking experiences you will ever go through. Magazines and websites regularly run stories about how to answer questions, what mistakes to avoid, etc. In this month's On the Job segment, independent career consultant Sasha King joins us to tell us all we'll need to know in order to nail the interview. Sasha King, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'm glad to be back.
So what types of questions should you ask in an interview? And normally you're being asked the questions, but we're wondering about questions that you, the interviewee, should ask.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. One of the mistakes that many people make on an interview is they assume that they are just basically auditioning for the company to hire them. One of the things that a proactive job seeker does is they, too, audition the company. These are some questions that I encourage my job seekers to ask to set a positive image with the employer. The first question I usually have them ask is, what are your 30, 60, 90-day goals for someone in this position? Why would you want to know that? It helps you as a job seeker to know what they expect of you in your first 90 days, but it also sets a favorable impression with the interviewer that you plan on achieving certain things within the first 90 days or know what the expectations are. A second million-dollar question to ask during an interview are, what qualities are you looking for in a candidate that fills this position? Why? Because if you don't know those qualities, or if you had a certain assumption about what the company wanted, they will give you a much better idea by answering that question. The third question I generally ask people to consider is, what skills are essentially important for someone in this position? One of the things that has changed in interviewing processes and jobs overall is sometimes they will have extra skills that are needed to do well on the job that they will not mention in a job description. So it's always a good idea when you leave that, especially that first initial interview, to have an understanding of what their expectations are.
Employers are replacing the traditional interview with behavioral interviews. Explain what a behavioral interview is and how you can make a positive impression in a behavioral interview.
Absolutely. A behavioral interview is an interview that focuses on your past performance to predict your future success on the job. So an example of a behavioral-based interview question would be something like, have you ever had to sell an idea to your coworkers or groups? If so, how did you do it, and did they buy it? What makes that difference from, say, a traditional interview question? A traditional interview question is testing your personality. With a behavioral-based interview question, you have to actually give a strong example of how you've used this skill on the job to prove to the interviewer that you are qualified. So when you have behavioral-based interviews, there is a formula that you want to use to answer those questions, and that formula is called STAR.
Star.
No, it's not like a star on the stage.
Is that an acronym?
It's an acronym.
Okay.
So STAR stands for situation. So they want to know, what is a situation that you've had to answer this question, like in this case, sell an idea to someone. So task, what did you do to achieve this? Actions, what did you do? What are the strategic plans that you used? How did you execute the steps of the plan? Now, that's really important. The reason why is, when behavioral-based interview is kind of a little bit like a psych test, we want to know what makes you tick, how do you organize ideas and thoughts in your heads, and how do you execute plans. So it's really important that you spend a little more time thinking about how you'll answer that section, and the results. So what are the outcomes of your actions, and when you can, quantify. So what do I mean by quantify? Does that mean you need a huge quantity, like, you know, if you're baking something? No. Quantify means if you had a percentage of a change, increase, or decrease, you worked on a certain number of projects, you had a larger budget, you want to mention that information. In certain fields, if you do not have certain accomplishments even executed or the results are quantified, like accounting, they will ask you in an interview to quantify every line on your resume that was not accounted for. So this is something that's very much becoming important for behavioral-based interviews.
And what's the R in the acronym?
The R stands for results.
Results. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we can't leave those out.
Yes.
So situation, task, action, result.
And then quantify when you can. You can't always quantify, but it's always a good thing to do.
Sasha, give us an example of the way someone would quantify their results.
Sure. One of the things that I do with my customer service representatives is they often think, okay, there's nothing to quantify at their jobs. But then the first thing I ask them is, generally, how many calls did you take per day? Now, the average customer service representative I talk to says, I took between 70 to 100 calls per day. Now, the difference between 70 and 100 is 30. So if we take half of that, is I averaged 85 plus calls per day on the job. Why is that important? When we have a lot of people that we're calling in for interviews, it's the person who can show me how strong their results are through quantification. That's the person that may get that second interview. Now, when I'm training my clients to go through this, I tell them the truth, which is you want to go through your work history for the past 10 to 15 years, and you want to come up between 6 to 10 examples. Why? One of the things that's a big change is you're getting multiple interviews. And so you want to be able to come up with different examples just in case you have to see these people more than once. The second reason why is sometimes you also have to come up with examples of how you failed and how you've kind of been a phoenix and risen up from the ashes from that failure. So you want examples of being successful, but you want examples of how you handle failure. That's one.
What if you've never failed?
I've never met anyone who hasn't failed at something. Okay. If you reach hard enough, you find the failure. You don't want to deal with the failure.
That sounds
all the
like
time.
The opposite of what we're going for here, but I know what you mean.
Yes.
Interviewing with a committee or board can be nerve-wracking. You mentioned the multiple interviews, but you're also interviewing these days with multiple people. So how should a job seeker handle a group interview?
One thing job seekers really should think about is the fact that they have a lot more control over a panel interview than almost any other style. Why? Because you're interviewing with multiple people, no one person has control over the interview. So this is where taking those star examples and making sure you have several of them. And this is making sure, especially for a field, if you need a portfolio, people like graphic artists, having those examples, you can actually treat the interview like a presentation to a bunch of people.
What happens when one of those people, though, that is interviewing you is maybe higher up, more important than the other two? Is there some sort of a way of ascertaining who is at the top of the food chain in this company and making sure that you're at least connecting with them?
Well, that's one of the things that I actually tell people to not worry about on those interviews. One of the things you can do, thanks to LinkedIn, God bless it, is you can research and sometimes connect with many of the people who are going to appear on your panel before you get there. So one of the things I've always done when I've had panel or committee interviews is I will connect with one or two people in a company that work there. I will find who are the other people they're connected to. And 9 times out of 10, I'm able to figure out who are the other people I'm going to be interviewing with. One of the other things that happens in a lot of these committee interviews is not everyone shows up at the same time. So I'm able to create some small talk based on the research I've done on the panel before I get there and actually get a little bit of a cultural fit and maybe change some minds about me as a candidate just in that time when I'm waiting for other people to show up. Another thing is you will have some people on certain panels, some people will speak to you, and some people will stare at you the whole time. Now, this does make a lot of job seekers really nervous. So what do you do? One of the things you do is on a panel interview, you make eye contact with every single person on the panel. So if I have 2 or 3 people in a panel in a room, I'm making eye contact with every single answer. But what I'm also doing with that one person who's not speaking is I'm asking them one or both of the following questions. What do you like about working here? How does this position relate to your department and role in the company? Why? The number one rule of interviewing of any type is to establish rapport and show that I'm a cultural fit for the company. So the fact I'm showing rapport and cultural fit with someone who's not talking to me means I will take an extra mile to try to get someone's attention, even if they're not initially engaged with me.
We're talking with independent career consultant Sasha King here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Sasha, why is company research integral to performing well on an interview?
Lack of knowledge about a company's mission, products, and services is the number one reason why job seekers fail interviews. So some things that you can do to take care of that problem is use some sources for company research. Google is fantastic because it gives you the company website, but also some articles. One of the big mistakes a lot of job seekers are making, especially professional job seekers, is they're not reading recent articles about the company and their direction before they go in for an interview. LinkedIn, like I mentioned a little earlier, is a wonderful resource. Why? Because it has company pages, it has groups, it has recruiters. Once again, I said my rule whenever I'm preparing for an interview is I try to connect at least 2 people in a company. And one of the things I find by going through people who have looked at your profile is 9 times out of 10, those employees or people who are going to interview me have been looking at my LinkedIn profile anyway. So I have a gilly. You can figure out a lot of things now that you couldn't before. Another thing that's absolutely imperative, please, please, please read the annual report of a company before you go on an interview. Why? You need to know about the financial health of a company. But more than that, once again, you need to understand the direction of a company and whether or not you are able to offer them something considering what they're doing. Another place that I really love to send people is Yelp. Now, people ask me, why Yelp, right? Because it's a place where, you know, for those of you who don't know, it's a place where you can get information about customer service at various different restaurants and other places at Caliber. Well, the great thing about using it is if you're selling yourself as a problem solver in an interview, you can go and find information about what the problems they're having and come up with a couple solutions before you even get to the interview. And a final thing I'm going to tell people that they absolutely have to do is know your worth. Please go to a salary calculator like salary.com or payscale.com and find out how much your skill set is truly worth in this environment.
Is that salary issue going to come up in the interview?
Sometimes it'll come up on the first interview. Sometimes it'll come up in the second interview. Either way, you want to find information about how much it's worth. Another website that gives you that information is Glassdoor.com. Glassdoor is a website that it gives employee reviews of what it's like to work for a company. So the great benefit of Glassdoor is besides giving you salary information of how much you get paid for a certain role within a company, Glassdoor also offers reviews of what it's like from someone to work for that company. And if you can't get a contact person, it will tell you a lot about the company culture.
So you find out what your job, what this position is worth, but then how do you know what to ask for? If they say, you know, what salary range are you looking for? Should you err on the side of a little bit high, which is normally what you do in a negotiation, or should you err on the low side so that you don't scare the potential employer off?
It depends really on, A, how well the company is doing in terms of their annual report. Because if they're doing fairly well financially, you may be able to err on the side of culture and go a little higher. If they're struggling financially and they're hiring you to solve the problems, you may not be able to ask as much. So those are some things you should take into account. And not only that, certain employers, like there's a couple I can think of here in Pittsburgh, they have very set salary ranges. This, even though you may have been paid a certain amount of money somewhere else, they don't give you a lot of wiggle room. They have their own calculations, and they will not budge from that. So that's one thing as a job seeker you should be prepared for.
And last but not least, what should you do to stand out from the competition if you have multiple interviews for a position?
The first thing you need to do is go back to review that initial company research. So don't just stop at the annual report. Read articles, read investor reports, and reread sections of the annual report. Why? Because at this point, they want to know what gives you an edge to help solve their problems and help them move their company in a different direction over someone else. Company culture. I cannot say enough. That is the number one reason why people are called for a second interview. And that is one of the number one reasons why people get hired. The president of Zappos said he could take someone with a Harvard degree versus a state school grad, and he would pick the state school grad if the state school grad was a cultural fit for the company. So once again, if you don't have someone to speak to with the company, you can also talk to what are their competitors, how they view the company culture, what peers or people, former employees, those things are helpful. Also, the next thing I'm going to tell you is be prepared for a different kind of interview. What does that mean? Your first interview may have been a traditional interview. Your second interview might be a behavioral interview or a committee interview. So if you got through the first one, it's traditional. Be prepared for a wild card and maybe a lot more psychological testing in the second interview. And speaking of psych tests, one of the big things that they're doing for higher level positions, if you're a professional, is they are giving you either a DISC assessment or, you know, Myers-Briggs, some kind of personality assessment at that phase. One thing that you can do to help prepare yourself or at least see what you will look like when you take one of these tests is take the Big 5 test, which is free online.
If you have a workplace question for independent career consultant Sasha King, send us an email at esspgh@wesa.fm with the subject line "On the Job." Sasha King, independent career consultant, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Paul. I would also like to invite anyone in the audience who wants to learn more on how to give a superior interview. In the month of July, on my website, sashamking.com, I'm going to be giving what I call a masterclass on different techniques to really help you get in the top 5% of interviewers. So if you want to learn a lot more about how to get that job with that really important interview, please check out sashamking.com for the next month.
And we'll have a link to that on our website at wesa.fm. More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.